Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me in the studio, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls today, 1-800-229-3000. We're glad you're with us here today on New Life.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome. What's going on?
My question is in regards to my son, who's 13 years old. He has gotten involved in some pornography.
We basically had a relationship of fighting over everything.
There's no doubt in my mind that God used that time.
There's a red flag when somebody's only got two friends, okay? So number one, that would cause a question.
Why did you set yourself up for that so early? The baby's not even out of the womb yet.
You know, you take kids 14, and they are just right in the midst of when they need a dad the most.
I started out there, and I've recovered very strongly from that position.
But there was an AA, Anxious Anonymous.
I would have been the star poster child for it.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and joining me today in the studio, in their studio in California, Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. I'm broadcasting here from WQME in Anderson, Indiana. Hi, guys.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. You know, it struck me today. I was a little slow getting to the studio today. Because here at Anderson, this is the Indianapolis Colts training camp right now, getting ready for the season.
Right.
And, you know, it just struck me that here are these guys that their whole life is committed to football. They've played football since they were probably in junior high. And they have to go into training every single year to do the same stuff that they've been trained to do all their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And it just says to me, man, if we could do that, maybe even just a week, like go to a conference or go to a camp, just do something in the area of training in the Christian faith, it sure would help us play a better game. That was my thought today.
Well, you know what's really interesting about your metaphor or your story about the Christian? Well, they do two things. They study film, which means they sit like we do in church in a classroom.
Yeah.
And then they get out on the field and they practice what they just saw. Now, we don't do that in the church. We don't have classes on listening. We don't have classes on speaking truth. We don't have practice regulating my emotions when I'm agitated in the middle of a conversation
with
you.
And it's really what we need, isn't it? I mean, that's part of therapy. I always say it's practice for
real life. That's what I do in my office is I get people used to tolerating these places of pain, because you can watch it on film, but when you actually have to do the block, it hurts a bit, you know? Now, so how do I get through that?
Yeah. When I was growing up, Mylon, I went to Sunday school on Sunday morning, training union was what it was called in Southern Baptist Church, on Sunday night, and then I often had to go to the Wednesday night service on Wednesday. And
so you almost did it as much as football.
But you know, there was a lack of applicability in my life. And that was something that really threw me, is that I wasn't getting the connection between what was being taught and how that could affect my life. It just didn't make sense.
And what did Jesus say about that? He says, you can hear my word all day long.
Yeah,
but and that's good. But if you don't do it, if you're not actually carrying it out,
it's like looking in a mirror.
It's like looking in a mirror, which then you forget and you walk away, and it sort of fades away in your memory. In James chapter 1, and in Matthew chapter 7, he says you're building your house upon the sand. He says when the pressure hits, it's going to fall apart. So I love your idea, and I think that's one of the things I love about our New Life Weekends, because what happens there.
That's a training camp, isn't it?
That's a training camp. So is an EMB, because you not only hear the lecture and watch the film, but you go into small groups, have discussions with trained professionals that really help you apply it.
All right. Well, if you want some training, we can do it. We've got Women in the Battle coming up, Lose It for Life, Every Man's Battle, A New Life Weekend. All those to help you training for the realities of life. And I'm going to tell you, everything we teach, it is applicable. It works. It's been tested over and over again. We'll be back and we'll go right to our phone calls here today on New Life Live.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Milan Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and a new book. If you support the ministry, we'll send you a copy of the new book. We get it before it's even in the stores. It's called Walking Into Walls. And, you know, there's a story in there about the dog who wouldn't go through the screen door, even though there was no screen, until the door was open. And it was a phantom wall for him. We do that all the time. We create these walls that aren't really even there. We get rejected by them, and no one's rejecting us. We get very egotistical, and we don't have anything to be bragging about, whatever. Anyway, it can really help you with the phantom walls, or it'll help you get unstuck, move into the future, and discover, have I set a boundary? Or have I made a wall? Because a lot of times we think we're setting a boundary, but it's actually a wall. And this helps you differentiate from that. Learn the five blind spots that prevent you from living the life that God intended you to live. And you can get that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or when you support us, we will send you one.
Steve.
Yes, sir.
My wife read that part of the book.
Yeah.
The part you were just discussing of the difference between a boundary and a wall.
Yeah.
And she said, wow, it was really great. So
it's a great concept. Yeah,
uh-huh. Thank you.
Kay's got a good way of looking at things, and so gets through her radar. Mm-hmm. And she likes it. That's a good thing.
Well, my wife, she helped me write that chapter. Otherwise, my walls would have looked like boundaries, and my boundaries would have looked like walls. So.
We all need perspective.
Yeah. Okay. Why don't we jump over here? Milan hates me to say jump, but anyway, let's just go to Linda.
Mm-hmm. Let's go,
Linda from KMFC, St. Louis, Missouri. Hello there.
Hi. Thank you, gentlemen, so much for taking my call.
Certainly.
My question is: when there has been a divorce, mm-hmm. and the separation was bitter, the divorce was bitter, and there was a lot of unresolved issues in the marriage. Once a divorce happens, and it has been recent, do we need to try to resolve those issues since they so strongly impact the relationship we have, because we have a child in common, a very young child, and there's still a lot of anger and a lot of bitterness. Do we need to try to resolve those issues, or since divorce has been filed, we could just go on with our lives and not worry about...
Okay, tell me what you're angry and bitter about. What's your half?
My half... I've been praying and asking God to show me if there's any anger left. I do know that there are issues that I did not understand, you know, that happened in the marriage. Like, you know, there were time periods where my husband did not show for work, maybe a week at a time, you know, and I find out through his employer, you know, that he filed disability for a week. And this happened a couple of years in a row, about the same time each time. And I didn't get... He gave me an answer for, but it didn't seem like it wasn't a satisfactory answer for me. So I don't think I'm angry over that. I do have anger over how everything has turned out, relocating, you know, to be closer to his family, and then the divorce, and now I feel like, you know, just that whole sense of I gave up everything, and it mm-hmm. still wasn't good enough.
So if you mm-hmm. see him, do you feel like you have to express your anger when you're with him? Is that what's going on?
No. I don't have that issue. Just through a lot of prayer and just through a lot of reading and trying to do self-help, but he's still very angry, and he expresses that. I mean, it's to the point where I've had to file ex parte. Mm-hmm. So he's got a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness.
Mm-hmm. Well, would he even go to see a counselor with you so you guys could work out a few things to be better parents?
Yes, I think he would, because we've attempted that even with the divorce pending. And while we're in therapy, before we made the appointment, we made a decision that this is for parenting. We're not going to try to fix us because the divorce is already filed. But once we're there, it kind of circles back to, I asked you to do this. I asked you to read books you didn't read. I asked you to do this. So it comes back to the marriage relationship and how it failed.
But you can't help it have that happen. That's just naturally a part of what will happen when you sit down in a counseling office, mm-hmm. and you start to, you know, it's kind of like you're picking yourself up off the interstate after an accident. What happened? And how did we get here? And our kids, you know, they're in the back seat. What do we do now? So there's a certain amount of that, Linda, that's going to happen. And it should happen, because if the two of you are going to really become a team to parent that child, you're going to have to be able to really have some resolution for these things. And hopefully it will make a big impact in your ability to be friends and co-parent. And I'm also not surprised sometimes when people do this, that they end up getting remarried, because sometimes I've seen miracles like that occur where they work really hard, they resolve stuff, they sort of create their declaration of independence, which gives them a bit of empowerment to say, I don't have to put up with this. And then once they're there, voluntarily, they start to work together. And so, but I think it's going to happen that the marriage stuff will come up, and that is what will affect your ability to parent together. Can we even have a conversation?
Right.
Linda,
and right now, we're unable to talk more than 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm looking at it from my perspective, and I just get, he just yells and screams and just demeans me so badly in front of the children or anybody.
Okay. Well, and Linda, did you say you're not divorced yet?
It has been filed. We're just waiting for the judge's ruling on the parenting and all that.
Okay. So it's just in the final stages.
Yes.
So he's still in that real angry period. I would certainly limit the exposure of him yelling at you and demeaning you.
Absolutely.
That's unacceptable.
Right.
And doing that in front of the children. And so while he's feeling really angry, you may have to lessen your contact with him. I think you're very right in that you guys are going to continue in relationship. Just because you're divorced, when you have a child, you continue on. And so unless he gets some kind of help, he will continue to be who he is. And so I think, you know, it's probably wise to expect that there's going to be difficulties, certainly from time to time, but to try to move forward, to try to work things out, knowing that, you know, if we can't work it out in marriage, sometimes it's even harder in divorce.
Mm-hmm. If he was resistant to work some things out, I would just be asking one question, and that is, are you willing to do something uncomfortable to make this better for our kids? If he's not willing to do anything.
But he may not be ready for that yet. Yeah, it may be down the road when the divorce is farther behind them.
Yeah.
Well, and he may have problems with impulse control.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And he may have problems with regulating his emotions, which it sounds like he does. It takes him, you know, he's ramped up in 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what you have to do with a person like that is you have to create the boundaries that allow for the protection.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to have, maybe you limit all your discussions to the counseling office.
Okay.
And, you know,
Or to email,
something like that, where right now you realize, okay, this impulsivity has affected our marriage. It's affected income. It's affected employment. It's also going to affect the parenting.
Yeah.
And Linda, probably for you, as you get some distance from him emotionally, you may actually be able to see how to work with him better in terms of, if you see, okay, he is who he is, now how am I going to approach it so that it's in the best interests of the kids?
Well, I'm going to send you. I'm going to send you two books to help you. One is How We Love, and that'll help you see what's really going on, why you guys ran into each other, got so attracted, and can't stand each other anymore.
Yes,
it's great for that. And then Walking Into Walls is going to help you move on. So, hold on. I'm going to get those to you. Sorry for what you're going through. I would make it all about the kids and not about you. I would make it, can we get some help for those kids whenever he's ready, as Jill pointed out there. If you are struggling with a sexual problem, sexual addiction or dependency, not because you have one, but because someone in your family does, we have a workshop if you're female. It's called Women in the Battle. It's for those who are working around or living around somebody with a sexual integrity problem. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and ask about the, it's a wonderful workshop, Women in the Battle, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, I think. Is that right? Let me look that up. Yeah, 639-5433. Okay, let's go over here and talk to Jake from Houston, Texas. Listens online. Hello, Jake.
Hi, how are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. I had a question about an engagement situation.
Okay.
I've been dating a girl for a year, and we've talked about getting engaged, and we were wanting to possibly get married next summer, a year from now. And my question is as of now, the job that I have requires me to travel an hour and a half. Every 2 or 3 weeks, I would travel an hour and a half away and be gone for 2 or 3 weeks and then come back. But
whoa.
I would be here for over half of the year total. And there's about 3 months where I'm here full time. So I guess my question was, you know, we would really love to, you know, get married next summer, and if it works out where I can't find a local job here where I live, we'd have to postpone that, you know, another year until she's able to leave school and move to where I am. So I was just going to ask you guys what you thought about the first year of marriage having that much travel in it, and if that was a wise or very unwise thing to do.
Yeah, if you can find anybody that would say that would be really wise, I would love to interview them on the program sometime.
Well, and Jake, you're saying she can't go with you, right? Because she's in school?
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah,
it's
if she
tough.
Could go with you, that would be fun.
That's a tough
right.
one.
Right.
Well, but just to clarify, would she have to move to that hour and a half away with you and then come back? Both would be going back and forth if she wasn't in school?
Well, she, you know, during that year where I would be traveling, she would be finishing her senior year, and then after her senior year, she would move to where that I'd be able to stay at that location full time, and she would move with me.
Oh, okay, got it.
Years up.
Got it.
Yes.
Did you know that Jake in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, that in the first year of marriage, a person that got married in their first year was exempt from war? They wouldn't have to go to war.
It said to cheer up your wife for an entire year is what it says.
Yeah, because, you know, it there's an understanding that first year is a challenge. And then after that, you know, they would have to participate in defending their nation.
Not that you wouldn't want to cheer her up anymore.
Right.
But, you know, that's one of those calculated choices, Jake, mm-hmm. that if people walk into marriage with their eyes wide open instead of their eyes wide shut, and you say, we're willing to get married and endure this year, and then at the end of that senior year, we'll move away. That's one thing. It's really important to discuss. I think it could be very hard to go through a year like that. But then again, if the two of you were to face it,
mm-hmm,
look at
together.
It, agree, and make the choice, go to counseling, and really do all the intense things that will help you guys. Because goings and comings apart are really hard.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Jake, now, how old is she?
She's 21, about to be 22.
Okay. And how old are you?
Same age.
Okay.
Same age.
So, you know, one thing, because the two of you are young and she has more schooling left, I know you don't want to hear this, but I might look at considering waiting perhaps till she got out of school, you know, primarily because of your ages. School is a time that you never get to repeat. Marriage is something that lasts, you know, a lifetime. And sometimes those good things are worth the wait. And I guess I'm wondering why you want to move it up and pile so many things on top of each other at once instead of having kind of these phases of life.
You're traveling, she's in school, only together half a year. That's tough.
That's a tough way. And yes, and it's not like you're pushing, you know, 35 and want to start having kids right away.
Right. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Anything else we want to say to Jake before... Jake, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Congratulations on asking the question and looking at it and not just saying, oh, it'll all work out.
Hey, Jake, I have a quick question.
Sure.
Jill raised a great point, you know, the concept of rushing. Do you feel like you are pushing this because of insecurity?
I don't think it's necessarily insecurity. I think it's definitely a deep desire.
I was going to say word desire.
Well, they're different because desire is one thing, which Jill is saying desire can wait a year.
Yeah.
But insecurity says, no, I need to put that ring on now because, you know, she's going to be a senior. I'm going to wait. You know, she's attractive.
Right.
I'm scared. I want to lock her up. You know,
right.
So that's what I was wondering if you could differentiate. And I would draw that into the conclusion on her part as well. Is she insecure? And so to add that to Jill's point, I love Jill's final answer. I do think that would probably be a good choice for you guys because I think the first year to be apart half the year would be very hard.
Can I ask you one more thing? If I have applied to a job here in town and there's a somewhat likelihood that I might get that, and if I was here full-time, would that change the situation at all?
Sure.
It would certainly help. I think, but I would still say weigh it out and really look at the pros and cons of sure. getting married while she's still in school versus she's just got one more year to complete.
And from a financial right. standpoint, to mm-hmm. take that year and save your money really could just make a ton of difference in the relationship yeah. and the ease. As you know, you need everything going for you that you possibly can in this day and age.
Right, right.
Okay. And Jake, this you may not be able to make this decision, you know, today at a year into it, but maybe it's like you revisit it, like, okay, in 6 months, let's reevaluate where we're at and weigh these issues again. And, sure. and kind of, taking those steps and seeing that maybe the time really isn't as far off as it feels right now. And sure. you will be able to face some different challenges together that will really help you, I think, in your marriage.
Glad you called. And I'm going to send you How We Love and Walking Into Walls. And I hope both of those books will help you get ready for marriage. I know Walking Into Walls will help you avoid some stubborn resistance and some arrogant entitlement. And I know that Mylon's book, oh my goodness, such insight, unbelievable insight in that book on why you're attracted, how you interact.
Every couple should have it on their shelf.
And read it, too. Not mm-hmm. just have
well, and
it,
read
because
it, but,
it's a beautiful
but
book.
But in their library.
Yeah, exactly. Jeff from
so
Dallas,
Texas.
So it's
there when they need it.
Yeah. KWRD, Jeff, how are you? Jeff?
Yes.
Can you speak up and turn everything off that isn't, that you know, other than your refrigerator?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How could we help you today?
Well, I had a question about my marriage. A few months ago, my wife had an affair with this guy. And
how long have you been married?
About 3 months ago, 3 or 4 months ago.
Now, how long have you been married?
For about 11 years.
11 years. Okay. What happened that got her off on that track?
Okay. I was on, I guess, for instance, since before we were married, when I met her, and the whole way through our marriage, I was always drinking and doing drugs. And she had left me before,
mm-hmm.
but then she had came back because I told her I was going to change and everything.
Yeah.
And And I found out 3 months ago, and she actually came up and she told me what she had done, and I'm torn up about it. And
sure.
Ever since mm-hmm. then, I haven't drank or smoked or anything. I haven't had the urge to do it, and maybe that's why she did it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
for whatever reason, you guys really drifted apart there after 11 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mylon, what are your thoughts about?
What's your question,
mm-hmm.
Jeff?
I want to know. She wants me to forgive her. She made a big mistake. She feels ugly about it. It's stupid. She says she'll never do it again. And I want to know if that's the right thing. We have 3 kids together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hard for me to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a couple of quick comments. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Mylon.
You said, well, I'm not drinking or smoking or doing drugs right now. And a lot of times when we're in a state of fear or extreme worry, we might have the wherewithal to stop our addictions for a period mm-hmm. of time. And then when things get relaxed or boring or, you know, we kind of get into the routine, bam, we just jump right back on that bandwagon again.
Exactly.
Once we get secure.
Once again. We get secure. Mm-hmm. Good point.
Yeah.
So I would say this is a great opportunity for both of you to come clean and to start over. And I think the ideal would be, because you see, you've had an affair too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just been with an inanimate object.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Beam.
Right? Yeah, Jim Beam.
Wild Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, you hold on.
Hold on.
We'll go to a break. And I hope that you can save this marriage. I hope that you can find a way to forgive her and move back toward her. You might still be angry, but you can still move toward forgiveness right now. And I think looking at your own affair with the booze would be helpful.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Yes, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Jurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah.
Jill has a great idea.
Okay. Well, Jeff, you know, you were saying that you're scared right now. You want the marriage back, but you don't know if you can trust her. And that makes a lot of sense, because while you were doing, in a sense, your affairing, they're different, but they're similar, with drugs and alcohol, you made a lot of promises that it sounds like you weren't able to keep.
Exactly.
And you kept saying, I'm going to try to do better, and it didn't change. So it makes a lot of sense that you would be fearful that maybe she would be doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so that's, you know, some of that fear is something that you have to tolerate as you move forward in trying to work things out. Because while we don't ever condone an affair or think it's a right action, and certainly your wife sounds remorseful, you know, we do see how marriages kind of get primed for that happening. And so when there's been a lot of disappointment and when distance has been created, that wedge of an addiction that comes between a couple, it pushes them farther and farther apart. And, you know, to have a relationship with someone who prefers a substance and is you know, often under the influence, it's not having a relationship with a real person. And that's a hard thing to withstand. And so, you know, she married you. She didn't marry drugs and alcohol.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
She wants you back. That, you know, whatever the affair was, it was somebody who was being real with her and nice. Something she's been missing. Not okay, ever. But it kind of makes sense if in the absence of you.
Yeah. I understand.
Okay.
It doesn't justify anything that she's done. It just helps you understand it better and maybe allows you to bring it back together.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you, been doing it, 2 books, How We Love and Walking Into Walls. I hope that those are going to help you. Jeff, we have a New Life weekend just for couples. If you guys could come, it could make all the difference in the world, and we'll give you some information on that. Anybody that's in this kind of situation, you come to this wonderful, wonderful couples weekend that we do. with Mylon and Kay and Dave and Jan Stoop. It really is quite amazing. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about that. That's 1-800-639-5433. 1-800-639-5433. Let's go to Rose from Weatherly, Pennsylvania. Listens on XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Rose.
Hi, Steve. Thank you for taking my call.
Okay, speak right up there. How can we help you?
I'm nervous. I'm a scatterbrain, so forgive me if I get off course.
Okay.
Can a person fall out of love?
Are you really asking that question?
Or is it more, can a person's feelings change?
Yeah.
Can they come and go?
Yeah. I never dreamed I'd ever get to this place. Well, I don't think anybody ever dreams of it, but I've been married for about 11 years. He's a Christian. I made sure of that before I married him. Very smart. He's a logical thinker, but not an emotional thinker at all. He doesn't care about how I'm feeling inside. He calls me names. He swears. Just recently, he's pushed me. I love him so much, and I don't want to lose him, but I feel like I'm lost him. I've waited too long. I've gone to counseling. We even went to the New Life Counseling in Maryland a few years back, and nothing's working. He says it's always my fault. I'm always the problem. And I'm starting to feel like it is. Sorry.
Well, that's okay. That doesn't feel good at all.
He calls you names.
Yeah.
Moron, idiot, stupid.
Oh,
wow. Effing. I don't even want to say it on the radio.
Okay.
We get it.
Yeah.
But just help me understand here. He calls you all that, and yet you believe you're the problem. You got to explain that to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because he makes it sound like it's my fault. All right, the recent one, 3 days ago, I've been sick to my stomach because I just can't stop thinking about, well, what if I just leave him? Will that stop? Will that help? Because our counselor says don't let him disrespect you, but I don't know how not to let him disrespect me. He just keeps doing it over and over, and I tell him, this isn't the way Jesus would want you to talk to me. But he does it over and over. I think he's got bipolar.
Hey, where are your friends?
I don't have friends.
I know. That's why you're all over the map on what's going on here.
Also, without friends, we can need our spouse too much. There are do-all, end-all, be-all. Everything, and so he can feel pressure. But let me go back and say, just because we pick a Christian doesn't mean they're a safe person. I know a lot of Christians I would never want to get in a car and go on a road trip with. You know, I mean, I just wouldn't want to spend any time with them because they're not necessarily mature or they don't have, you know, they're just.
Well, that's so, the so, problem. He's so, a truck driver. He's
so,
never home.
So let me share then that if your husband is avoidant and dismissive, and then when he comes home and you just want to spend time with him and he just wants to sit down behind the TV, he doesn't want to have a relationship with you. And he probably gets angry at you when you approach him for relationship. And he pushes back on you.
Does that fit?
Does that fit?
No.
Okay, so how would you change that?
How would you change that? Thank you, Jill.
It's more like he comes home and he's stressed because, you know, he only gets to come home once a week, and he's got tons of paperwork, truck driving related, and bills and things he's got to look at, and I know it stresses him out. And I try to avoid him by staying upstairs. I work at home. I make and design jewelry. So I go and hide in my jewelry room, and he'll call me down and ask me where something is and something that he misplaced and never, because he doesn't put things away when he's finished, and then he loses it, and then I'm the blame for it.
So when he starts feeling out of control and frantic, sounds like he doesn't do very well with his emotions.
No.
I would imagine you were probably the more touchy-feely in the relationship if he's very logical.
He'll scream at me in public. He don't care where he is.
Right, right.
At a restaurant, he doesn't care.
We know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We deal with people like him all the time.
Yeah.
And I love him, and he's such a good person, but yet...
Well, what do you mean he's
but
a good person?
He becomes a flailing baby when he's in those moments.
I feel... I used to feel secure up until he just pushed me just recently. But I don't think he'll do that again. I don't know.
Did you ever think he would do it once?
He doesn't give me compliments. I feel like
Don't tell us about him anymore. We really do understand who he is, but what is it about him that is good? Just tell me one good behavior that he has done toward you in the past year or so. Okay, so you have a hard time coming up with that. Why do you say he's such a good person? I just love him to death.
Because he takes care of me. I was a foster child growing up. I've always been put down and called idiot. My mom and dad sexually and physically abused me. They ended up in prison. I ended up with abusive relationship.
So it's familiar.
I don't know if it's me, because he says it's me, and he's so smart that maybe it is me. I have ADD, he says.
So do a lot of really great people. Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's how he can blame you for, you know, not being able to find stuff, you know.
ADD, I'm very good at finding things. I know where things are.
And
I
Rose?
I know where I put things. I remember everything where I put everything.
Well,
but
so then
says,
Rose, you said you make jewelry. ADD people are often very creative.
Yeah.
They think outside the box.
That's why I hide in my work, maybe.
So, Rose, the fact that you hide when he walks in the door tells me that you're sort of the victim. He's the angry controller, and that's a lousy relationship.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question, could I fall out of love with that? Yes.
Of course you could.
But you stay in it because it's familiar and it's a replay of your childhood.
Yeah.
Maybe to a lesser degree, but it's still there.
Which isn't healthy.
No, it's not.
No.
Not a good place for you.
Okay.
What do I do?
Well, you said you're in counseling.
No, we were in counseling a few years back.
Okay, Rose, I think...
We went to New Life Counseling. That didn't work. We went to a Christian counselor that New Life provided, told us to, recommended.
Rose, it may be time for you to get into counseling by yourself. To work on those issues around, you said that people tell you you've got to command respect. Maybe that's something to work on.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. And your phone calls, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Cindy calling from Kissimmee, Florida, WTLN. She'll be our final caller, but if you'll hold on there, those that are on the line, we'll get to you right after a break. Okay, Cindy, how could we help you today?
Okay, so my daughter is 19.
Yeah.
Almost 19. Mm-hmm. And she's going to go work at one of these restaurants where, like a sports bar where they show, you know, quite a bit more than, you know, it's like a Hooters kind of place.
Uh-huh. Mm.
Is that like a, would you consider that like a light porn, or is, do you think it's not?
I would call it light porn and heavy objectification of women.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I don't know how exactly to handle it because she's living on her own, but I'm helping her a little bit. And she's only doing this for a few months so she can get experience to go back to her her regular job where she's fully clothed.
Well, let me ask you this. What would a woman think of a man who was serving food in a restaurant in his underwear?
Nothing. She wouldn't think anything about it.
No, but she would think he's kind of a loser, right?
Yeah.
She'd think he was a loser, and she would not respect that guy very much, that's the kind of job he would have to have. And I think that is kind of the same category that you put yourself in when you take one of those jobs.
That's what I think, too. But she's on her own.
Well, not completely. You said you're still supporting her.
A little bit. Not a whole lot. But, you know, I am helping her a little bit.
Well, it's just disappointing for you as a mother, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
It's disappointing that she's willing to do that.
And she even said, well, I know it's degrading. I don't really like it. But I'm just doing it for a few months so I can, you know, get serving experience because that's the only way to get it. But I'm just
Hey, what's her relationship like with her father?
Oh, yeah. Well, he walked out when she was 14.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, and I've tried to ask him, I think, you know, not talk to her about it, but just try to, I mean, they just lost a lot when he left, and he hasn't been in the picture too much, but he's helped out financially, you know.
So just because, just for the sake of time, Cindy, that could be a perfect setup for her to walk into something like that and get a lot of attention and then have that be a real hook into her emotions. So I like the idea that you've talked to her about it, the fact that you've been very direct. I like the fact that she even has said, yes, I know it's degrading, but it's sort of a means to an end. As a 19-year-old, she'll have to make some of her own choices and even fail and get into experiences and make, we all do this. We all make choices that aren't really the most mature in the world. I still do, I still do even today. But she's going to have to learn, and here's the deal. I would love for her to be able to listen to a talk, or talk to somebody, and hear how men think. Because men, you know, objectify, just like Steve said, men compartmentalize sex. Men will look at somebody and they'll forget that there's a person inside that waitress's body.
Right.
And a lot of girls don't know that, especially if they don't have a dad that taught them those things. And so I would tell her, you know, hey, let's find out some ways to find out how men think, and, you know, even read Every Man's Battle and have her understand and use as an educational time. If she's going to do what she wants to do as a 19-year-old, she can do that, I suppose. She's an adult. I would just try and educate her in this process and be there as a part of the process of picking her up.
Yeah, and Cindy, I would also use it as a time to say, you know, look, you have to make your own decisions. However, I just want some space for us to just kind of talk about this out loud. And it sounds like you guys are already doing that. And kind of just hold up like the options and the reasons and the pros and cons and kind of the contrast of, okay, yeah, you need money and experience, you know, but what are some possible pitfalls? And just really help her think it through so that she's making a decision based on really looking at all of the angles instead of like, this is the quickest way to get this experience and, you know, make money. And sometimes we isolate needs. We zero in on one need and we don't take into account all the other needs, like, for instance, the emotional cost to a choice that we make.
Okay, yeah. All right. Well, I hope that's helpful to you. I'll send you Every Man's Battle. And I hope that that will give her some insight into what is going on. I mentioned Every Man's Battle, our first ever Every Man's Battle 2.0. This is for all of our Every Man's Battle alumni. It's for past attendees. We've mailed it or emailed it to everyone that's attended so that they're, if you're a wife and things aren't going well or you want them to go to the next level, say, ask him about that email. And if you're an alum, you didn't get the email, or you did, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to have you. It's going to be an amazing time, October 21, 22, and 23. Club New Life, we need 83 members every month. That's about 4 a day, and we're hoping that you will be one of them. We really could use your help. 1,000 new members is our goal this year. That provides us $42,000 additional dollars of support. It makes a huge difference, but it takes people like yourself giving a little bit consistently over time. If you could help us, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I mentioned walls and boundaries, and since Kay Yurkovich liked it, I want to read you two paragraphs about boundaries and walls. A boundary is not a wall. It's a line in the sand, a line you draw around yourself that prevents the pain and suffering of the past from perpetuating itself. It is a stance that calls for action on your part if it is not honored. It is a statement of what you will do, what you have chosen, and what will be the outcome on your part, whether or not the other person gets the help or makes the changes needed. Walls are used to make demands on the other person or nag him about the changes he must make. This approach merely causes the other person to build more defenses. A boundary works much more positively. It challenges the other person to drop the defenses and look at what needs to be changed. So there are big differences between walls and boundaries, and here is a book called Walking Into Walls. It will help you knock down those walls and get through them. 5 blind spots that block God's work in you. If you support this ministry, we will send you a copy of this book, Walking Into Walls. We want you to have it. It really could change everything in your life. Things like justifiable resentment and arrogant entitlement, and stubborn resistance, disconnected isolation, blind ignorance. Those are things that you can deal with, and there's an answer for each one of them. We also have amazing resources. Dr. Jill Hubbard has The Secrets Women Keep and The Secrets That Young Women Keep. Mylon and Kay have How We Love and How We Love Our Kids, 2 great books that every bookshelf should have. They really do help you understand how you are relating to your spouse and how your personality affects that relationship, and then also your kids. If your kids have a problem, there's a good chance that they inherited it or maybe they absorbed it, and this can help you reverse that. You just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can support us here in August, we really do need your help. We need an August or an Augustan support from a lot of people that could make all the difference in the world for us. Really could. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's 1-800-639-5433. And we'll see you next time here on New Life Live. We love you. We're praying for you. And hope you have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE
or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.